Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com, get that free 31-page PDF, no-brainer, simply for subscribing to the podcast. Simple email will get you access to that PDF. Great review if you're out of practice. Or if you're preparing for any board exams or going through pharmacology classes in school. So again, reallifepharmacology.com, go get that free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide. All right, so let's get into the drug of the day today, and that is chlorthalidone. And this is going to be a little bit more interesting in that we've had some recent research done on chlorthalidone, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But some of the basics, brand name is Thalatone. This drug is classified as a thiazide diuretic. Okay, so similar to hydrochlorothiazide, metolazone, those are some of the other drugs that are going to have similar effects to a drug like chlorthalidone. So you can imagine its uses are going to be pretty similar to that as well. In practice, hypertension is by far the most common use that I've seen this medication used for, followed by probably edema, swelling. Again, we often go more towards the loop diuretics like furosemide for removal of fluid, but thiazide diuretics can have that effect as well. And then lastly, on a rare occasion, I have seen it utilized for the prevention of calcium-based renal stones because chlorthalidone actually helps retain calcium back into the body. And so that prevents it from going out and contributing to growing stones and that type of thing. So, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we talk about the mechanism of action. Dosing, I've seen anywhere from 12.5 milligrams up to 100 milligrams per day. With that said, if it's being used for blood pressure, most often in my practice, what I've seen is 12.5 up to basically a max of 25 milligrams per day. I have seen people try to push that on a rare occasion, but in my opinion, you're probably going to be in that range, 12.5 to 25, and move on to a different agent if that's not enough to get their blood pressure down. So that's the dosing. Mechanistically, how does this drug work? So it blocks sodium and chloride reabsorption in the distal convoluted tubule. So if you remember, if you've ever seen a picture of a nephron, that distal convoluted tubule is past the big loop of Henle. So remember, that's where loop diuretics work. So with that being said, this action also leads to potassium wasting. So potassium is going to go out of the body and out into the urine. So naturally, the effects that you're going to see from that is hypokalemia, hyponatremia, so low potassium, low sodium. Magnesium can also go with that. But the one unique thing about thiazide diuretics like chlorthalidone here is the calcium component, and I mentioned that with the calcium-based renal stones and trying to prevent that. Calcium is actually retained into the body, and it can cause calcium levels to go up versus the flip side, which it sends potassium and sends sodium out of the body, leading to lower levels of those electrolytes, potentially. Again, something we always monitor. So tying that in to the adverse effect profile, we've got to remember to check electrolytes. So hypokalemia, low potassium, low sodium, and low magnesium. Those are the three biggest ones I'm concerned about. There's some other subtleties as well. And then hypercalcemia, so increased calcium levels. Also, thinking about the mechanism of action here, if you want a diagram of the nephron, pearls.com has an excellent free chart. If you go sign up for a free account at pearls.com/RLP, abbreviation for real life pharmacology, obviously there. Pearls.com is offering a free diagram of thiazide diuretics, mechanism of action, and where all the diuretics work in that nephron. So it's a great visual for you, absolutely no cost to you, simply an email to sign up for their free account. And they've also, I have been, and I'm going to talk more about the electrolyte changes. They've also got a great chart on the electrolyte changes in the blood and in the excretion that gives you a quick synopsis of what each type of diuretic does. So again, both of those tables absolutely for free, pearls.com/RLP. Once you sign up, you can access both of those, that chart and that diagram. So definitely a no-brainer. Go take advantage of that. They do a nice job at pearls.com. Other adverse effects, frequency of urination. So taking that drug in the morning is most common. So it makes patients go to the bathroom all the time. Obviously, it's going to cause fluid to go with those electrolytes. That's what we're doing with any type of diuretic. We're sending fluid out. So urinary frequency is a big issue. Dehydration, again, sending more fluid out. So we can run the risk of acute renal failure due to dehydration, and obviously adding on other drugs, which I'll mention coming up in drug interactions, can increase that risk. Elevations in uric acid, so patients with gout or taking allopurinol maybe, those elevations in uric acid could potentially lead to an increased risk for gout flares. Skin reactions, I would say they're very rare. It should be noted that chlorthalidone does have a sulfa component. And also blood glucose can potentially be affected. Now, in my opinion, it's generally not clinically significant, but it should could certainly be paid attention to, particularly in our diabetic patients if blood sugars are we're having a hard time managing those. All right, so let's talk quickly about cardiovascular events. Okay, so chlorthalidone has been purported to be recommended over hydrochlorothiazide by some clinicians due to a study back in 2011, I believe, by a gentleman, I believe it was a gentleman named Dorsch. So that study in 2011 showed reduced cardiovascular events with chlorthalidone compared to other thiazide diuretics. Well, in 2020, we had a study done by, and I don't want to butcher the name, so it's HRIPCSAK. So we had this study in 2020, which found no benefit of chlorthalidone over hydrochlorothiazide in cardiovascular events. Okay, so, you know, in my opinion, I don't, we've got kind of conflicting evidence there. So those that, you know, 100% purport chlorthalidone, it might have been before this 2020 study came out. So definitely take a look at that. If you want more details, certainly you can look up those authors, chlorthalidone study, cardiovascular events, and you'll probably see the 2011 study come up on a Google search, and you'll see the 2020. So you can look for yourself, take a peek at that. But in my opinion and assessment, I would say the jury's still out as to which thiazide diuretic is better to use in hypertension. Okay, so definitely take that into consideration for sure. And then before we get into drug interactions, I want to talk about monitoring quickly. So certainly renal function, creatinine, we're going to monitor those labs to make sure that we aren't worsening renal function when using this type of medication. Electrolytes, I've exhausted that, I think, already. Certainly blood pressure, we're going to watch. It's going to drop blood pressure. That's usually our goal with using chlorthalidone, so we're certainly going to monitor that. If you're using it for edema purposes, swelling purposes, fluid loss, then we're probably going to monitor, you know, kind of intake and outputs and that sort of thing and weights to monitor kind of that fluid status. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're a pharmacist looking for board certification study material, go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. We've got a great list of resources, tons of content, study questions, review courses, helpful tables and charts, lots of great content there that will definitely help you prepare to pass your board exams. And one of the biggest things that I think we offer is great information on regulatory and statistic topics. Okay, you have to know some of those topics for your board exam, whether it's BCPS or NAPLEX or so on and so forth. So we've got a great list of resources to help you prepare and pass those exams. For our nursing colleagues, I just released a new book, so definitely go check that out. Support the sponsor. And that is MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology. You can go find it on Amazon. Definitely a great resource. I've kept it very inexpensive on purpose. I want people to have it. You're going to benefit from it. And we've got some bonus review questions as well as all the study information in that book as well. So go check that out. Plenty of other books as well, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E, if you're another healthcare professional, drug interactions, drug-food interactions, case studies, clinical pearls, polypharmacy, lots of different books and resources to go check out and obviously help support the sponsor, meded101.com. All right, let's wrap up with drug interactions. So when I think about thiazide diuretics, I always think about their effects and what's going to happen there. So uric acid. So we're going to oppose any beneficial effects from a drug like allopurinol that reduces uric acid because chlorthalidone raises uric acid. Calcium supplementation. So that can be an additive effect. And I actually had a case in a long-term care facility where a resident had their own supply of Tums that they were taking for heartburn, which is calcium carbonate, and they actually ended up with hypercalcemia, and the chlorthalidone certainly didn't help with that. So we can kind of have that additive hypercalcemia risk if we're adding on calcium supplements, as well as potentially vitamin D can raise calcium levels in the blood as well. Adding on other diuretics, specifically talking about loops, I've seen profound drops in potassium levels when we use loops and thiazides together. And it does happen on occasion. You will see clinicians put patients on both. Okay, so also increased dehydration risk when we're adding on other diuretics, possibly SGLT2s as well. So those are used for diabetes and potentially some heart failure benefit. Exacerbation of digoxin effects can happen, and that's specifically true as we run into hypokalemia, so low potassium levels and or low magnesium levels. Those digoxin effects may be exacerbated when we're using chlorthalidone. Elevation in lithium concentrations, so pay attention to that. NSAIDs, so NSAIDs can worsen renal function. And using that with chlorthalidone can increase this risk further. So pay attention to that. Lab monitoring is certainly very important. Minimizing the dose of the NSAID, minimizing duration, all those good, important things to do and pay attention to. Obviously, blood pressure, we can have, you know, additive or opposing type effects depending upon what we're trying to do there. So if we use a drug like a stimulant, for example, we could have an opposition type effect where the stimulant's raising blood pressure and maybe we need to add chlorthalidone to manage that blood pressure. That's a classic example of the prescribing cascade where we use one drug to treat the side effects of another drug. Same thing with on the flip side, you know, you've got two drugs that lower blood pressure. You add chlorthalidone onto, you know, somebody taking Sinemet or another blood pressure lowering medication. Obviously, that's going to have an additive type effect. Lastly, I did want to mention hyponatremia, so low sodium, thinking about some of those drugs that can cause SIADH, so your carbamazepine, your SSRIs, two classic examples there, pay attention to that if you have low sodium levels in your patient, and obviously, especially, be careful if they have symptomatic hyponatremia, definitely. All right, so that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Greatly appreciate those of you who have taken the time to do that. It helps us grow the podcast, expand the audience, educate more people, which is ultimately my goal. I want to maximize the number of people that we're helping learn pharmacology and about medications in general. Go get the free PDF, Top 200 Drugs, 31-page study guide. Simply an email will get you that. That's at reallifepharmacology.com. And of course, support the sponsor, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. If you want to reach out to me, mededucation101@gmail.com. If you have comments, questions, suggestions about things to cover, that type of thing. And I am going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for listening.